in accordance to the purpose of God, in accordance to His purpose for your life. I want to just spend, give you a couple of outlines again tonight, and again, you can take them, and I'll move through them as quickly as I possibly can, but I'll give you a couple of outlines. I want to speak to you tonight about spending time with God, and when you spend time with God, what does it reveal about yourself? When you spend time with God, and when God spends time with you, what does it reveal about Him, and what does it reveal about you? You know, the Bible does talk about when we pray, when we were just singing a little while ago, sweet hour of prayer. I said, thank you, Lord. You just confirmed to me that I was going to the right place tonight. In John chapter number 17, of course, is the Lord's Prayer, and Christ is going to pray unto the Father. And what it's going to do is it's going to give us an example. Do you remember that Jesus was an example in every facet to the disciples? He had said to them, follow me and I'll make you to become fishers of men. He had taught them all along the way. When he's now about to leave, you have to understand that he's not going to forfeit his purpose for coming for the sake of the disciples. He didn't come for the disciples. He came for a reason. Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. In the midst of why he came, he picked up 12 along the way to teach them so that when he was gone and had accomplished what his purpose was for coming, that they would then tell it to others so others then could know Christ. And so what we find is that the 17th chapter of the book of John reveals to us Christ's faithfulness in his purpose for him coming. And so a lot of times when you look at things, somebody says, well, are you a faithful person? I think your faithfulness can be examined by your prayer life. And I think your prayer life will identify your faithfulness. But it will identify your faithfulness in the fact of, are you living out the purpose? Because the purpose of your life will affect how you pray. And I'll show it to you in just a moment. But I want to go to this evening, go back with me to Genesis chapter number 28. In Genesis chapter 28, I want to give you tonight God's side of prayer. You know, we would say there's two sides to every story. We might say there's an up and a down. There is a right and a left. There's a right and a wrong. We would always say there's two sides. You take a coin, you flip it, you say heads or tails, because there's one side or the other. And so when you look at things, you always have to look at them from two different perspectives. From a husband or a wife in a home, you look at it from that way. And so you have two different perspectives on this thing. When you think of spending time with God, and what spending time with God reveals about you, then I want to say to you that spending time with God reveals something about God. Would that be a fair assumption? That if we could find out what God said when God spent time with man, then we could find out what God's purpose was behind spending time with man. And then we could look at man's side, or in this case, it's God speaking to God, God giving us an example of what we ought to be in our lives of fulfilling the purpose that God has for us. God had a purpose for Christ. Christ came with a purpose. His faithfulness is seen in his prayer life. But I want you to notice in Genesis 28, there are three passages. Genesis 28, Genesis 32, and Genesis 35. There are three times when God speaks directly and chooses to call Jacob to a time with him. And they are the three times here where God specifically calls Jacob unto himself. And when he calls Jacob unto himself, or speaks with Jacob, or he wants to spend time with Jacob, he gets Jacob's attention. Here's what I found to be true. That God wants to spend time with me. Amen. Okay? So he can invite me, and he probably likes it and loves it when I come to him. But if I don't come to him, he could still come to me. Because there's two sides. So God might put a purpose in our life, and God has a purpose for our life. So one of two things, I can surrender and be submissive and get in on the plan, or what I can do is allow him to chasten me and correct me until I get in on the plan. don't know about you, but I'd rather go ahead and get in on the plan. I'd rather get in on purpose in the right side than wait until he had to do what's necessary to get me in on his side. So what I found here in this passage of Scripture is God is going to... I saw a little example here. This is God initiated... He initiated all three meetings with Jacob. Jacob didn't initiate them. God is trying to get Jacob's attention. And God will get your attention. If you're God's child, he will get your attention. Because the Bible said he chasteneth whom he what? Loveth. And you love your children, so you did what with your children? You chastened them. God loves us, so we're his children. He chastens us if necessary. God wants our attention. I can give it to him, or he can get it. Okay? So what I've got is I've got God saying to Jacob here, I want your attention. I'm going to teach you something. I want you to learn something about me. So spending time with me is going to teach you something that I want from you. And let me give them to you very quickly. We'll not spend a lot of time here, but this is God's side of it. Genesis 28, one verse, go to verse number 13. You can read the passages later. But Jacob's gone from Beersheba, and he comes upon this place. And verse 11 and verse 12, he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set forth. And 13, the Bible said, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Now here's what I want you to notice. What I found here on God's side of God spending time with Jacob is God wanted Jacob to understand who he is. So you got to understand, when I go to prayer, one of God's purposes in prayer is for me to know who he is. From his side to me. Now what do I go to prayer for? That sometimes is different. In Psalm 32 and Psalm 51, David went to the Lord because of his sin. In Psalm 55, he was driven to the Lord because of a burden. There were other times when he was driven to the Lord because of a song. He was rejoicing over victory. So there are times and certain things in our lives that drive us to God. Prayer requests, burdens, crisis, circumstances, situations. And all of a sudden, prayer requests are important when they're yours. But sometimes prayer requests are prayer requests from somebody else's. They're just another name on the list until that name is yours, and then it becomes pretty important. So what happens is, what I find in this passage of Scripture in Genesis 28, the first thing I find is God simply wants him to know the person of God. So he simply introduces himself to Jacob. He says, I am. You see, when you go to God, God wants you to know he is. He wants you to know who you're speaking to. So when you go to God, from God's perspective, one of the things God wants you to know is who he is. Go to Genesis chapter number 32. In Genesis chapter number 32, let me give you the second one. In Genesis chapter 32, let's go over to verse number 24. In Genesis 32, 24, Jacob was left alone and he wrestled with a man. Of course, we know that he calls him in verse 33. He said, I've seen God face to face. So he knows who he's wrestling to. He's wrestling with God. Okay, God sends this one to wrestle with Jacob, and he's wrestling with God. Verse 25, when he saw that he prevailed not against him. This is the man wrestling against Jacob, and it seems like Jacob has won. Please understand this. You don't win. God always wins. God always has the upper hand. You might think that you're getting away with something. You might think that you're succeeding, but please understand that what God wants you to know is number two. In Genesis 20, he wants you to know the person of God. In Genesis 32, he wants you to know the power of God. So you might wrestle against him for a while. You might think you're winning for a while, but all he has to do is touch the hollow of your thigh and it's over. You will limp the rest of your life. You know why? Because God simply wants you to understand something from his perspective. He's power. So when you go to God and you're praying unto God, what you need to understand from God's perspective is he wants you to understand from his perspective who you're praying to. And he wants you to understand the power of God that you're praying. The power of the God you're praying to. Okay? Now go to Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35, God appears again to Jacob. Genesis 35, verse 9. This is God's side of spending time with man. In a minute, we're going to look at my time, my perspective of spending time with God. His perspective is he wants to make sure that I know who he is, and he wants to make sure that I know he's in control and he has all power. Genesis chapter number 35, verse 9. And God appeared unto Jacob again, and he blessed him, verse 9. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob. You know what God wants us to know? That God has a plan and a purpose for your life. From God's perspective, what God wants you to know when you go to prayer is that God has a plan. You see, the reason that that's important is because you don't go to God to inform God of what God's going to do. I don't go to God to figure out that God needs me to tell him what's going to happen. I don't go to God for me to let God know what I'm going to do. It's not for me to do that. Prayer is for me to submit to the person of God, the power of God, and the plan of God. That's God's side of my time in prayer. Now go to John chapter number 17. Now let's look on the opposite side. Let's look at Christ as he's ending his life on this earth. 18, he's going to go to the garden. He's going to go to the cross. As he ends his life in John 17, he's going to pray. And I believe this prayer reveals what he wants his disciples to understand about what their purpose in life is. Christ came with a purpose, and his purpose is revealed in his prayer. And he shows to the disciples how to be found faithful. Remember, deal with fear, deal with fruit, deal with faith, and deal with faithfulness. We want to know, am I faithful? I think our prayer life will indicate our faithfulness to what? The person of God, the power of God, and the plan of God. God's side of prayer. See, what's God doing when I'm praying? Is God interested? The answer is yes. You say, well, God's hearing. What's he hearing? He's hearing whether or not I'm what? I'm submitting to his person, I'm submitting to his power, and I'm submitting to his plan. So my part of the prayer then is identifying my faithfulness to God. And what I find in John 17 is Jesus gives a great example. Watch now. 17:1. These words spake Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Let's pray. My Father in heaven, I need to learn from you tonight faithfulness. And by observance of your prayer, I can learn how to be faithful. And I pray that you'd help me to determine if I'm faithful or not, in accordance to who you are, in accordance to your power, in accordance to your plan. And I pray that you'd help me to learn that from Christ, who is submitting himself to his Father for the sake of going to the cross for my sin. So Jesus, thank you for giving me an example. Thank you for being my Savior. Thank you for paying for the sin debt. Lord, I pray that you bless this church. Thank you for them. I pray this Sunday be a wonderful Sunday, remembering the resurrection. But Lord, I pray then in a week, 501 will be broken, and more than that. But Lord, not so that a number can be reached, but so someone can hear the gospel who's not heard. Somebody who has heard the gospel can be watered. And Lord, when you're ready, God gives the increase. And so God, I pray you'd work with your word as it's given by your people in your church to others. May you be honored in Christ's name. Amen. Let's look quickly at Jesus as he identifies his faithfulness to the plan of his Father. Now you notice in verse number 1, he says, these words spake Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father. If you go over into verse number 11, or verse 5, he said, and now, O Father. In verse number 11, he said, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name. Look over in verse number 24, or verse 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father. In verse 24, Father. In verse 25, O righteous Father. Jesus knew his area or place of submission to his Father. What that tells me is, and gives me an example is, that Jesus, of course, is the Son of God. He's the Beloved. But the Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the what? Sons of God. I become a joint heir with Christ. Now, what that means is I become God the Father's son. Not because of myself, but God Christ, because of what Christ did, I put on the robe of righteousness of Christ and I become a son to the Father. So what happens now is because I have become a son to the Father, I now have purpose to the Father. I have a purpose as a son. I'm to do something as a son. My dad's name is Leslie. I have a purpose to my dad. I carry my dad's name. People look at me and look at my dad. The same is true with God. I become God's child. I then represent my Father. And so what I find is what Christ does here is, even in the way he addresses his Father, indicates that he has acknowledged the what? He's acknowledged the person of his Father. He's acknowledged the power of his Father. And he's acknowledging the plan of his Father. What he is doing is he is showing us an example, showing me an example, that when I pray, as I'm praying, I am indicating by my prayer whether or not I have learned my side of response to a holy God. Am I spending time with God? What my side shows. And so he starts out with here, Father. The only way to get to the Father is through the person of Jesus Christ. No man cometh unto the Father, he said, but by what? But by me. That's what Jesus is saying. So Jesus there, he's talking though, he's giving us an example and he calls him Father. I find that there are many places where Jesus prayed. I found 5 recorded times when Jesus prayed. You remember when the disciples asked him in Matthew chapter 6? He said, you pray like this, somewhat like this, paraphrasing it. But he said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. When he went to the garden in chapter number 18, in just a few moments, he goes out to the garden. When he gets to the garden, what does he say? Father, let this cup pass from me. In Matthew chapter number 28, they ask him, and he begins to pray. Can I tell you how he started his prayer? Oh, Father. You know why? Because that tells something about proper submission to the Father. You see, somebody says, well, why do we pray the way we pray? You ought to stop and think about why you pray the way you pray. Because God has a plan, and God has a purpose. When you pray, God has a reason for your prayer. God's spending time with you when you pray. He wants to spend time. When you're spending time with Him, then you ought to be fulfilling your purpose. Your first purpose is submission. You're submitting to the plan of God. Now, I want you to notice how Christ shows that. Look in verse number 2. He says, as thou hast given him. As thou hast given him. Look in verse number 4, the last phrase. Thou gavest me to do. In the middle of verse 6, which thou gavest me. At the close of verse 6, and thou gavest him. In verse 7, he closes, thou hast given me. In verse number 8, he says, which thou gavest me. In verse 9, he said, which thou hast given me. You know what he's doing? In verse 11, thou hast given me. And you can go through, thou hast given me, thou hast given me, thou hast given me. You know what he's doing? He is simply saying, I'm obedient to your plan. I've been obedient to your purpose. I have been obedient, and my obedience is causing me to pray. You know what? Would you rather pray because you had to, or would you rather pray because you wanted to? Husbands, would you rather say to your wife, "Now tell me you love me"? "I love you." "Well, that's real good." You know, you want her to what? You want her to come up to you when you're not expecting it and give you a peck on the cheek, and then you look at her like, "Whoa, where'd that come from?" You want her to initiate it. Do you not think that God's saying? Do you not think that the Son saying to the Father, us going to the Lord, not always Him coming to me? That's His side. His side is who He is. His side is He's all powerful. His side is He has a plan. My side is what? Obedience. My side's complete obedience, complete submission. You know what Jesus is doing here? And say, He's saying, "Lord, you gave me, you gave me, you gave me, you gave me. And now I'm coming because of obedience." Now, David had to go to the Lord and ask God for forgiveness. Christ never did, because obviously he never sinned. But what happened, David was, he was driven to the Lord in prayer because of sin. But I'll tell you what, I'd much rather go to the Lord in times of obedience. It's much sweeter to go when you've been obedient than when you've been disobedient. There's a big difference in your prayer time. You enjoy your prayer time much better when you don't have to crawl in and cover your face because what you did. But you go because you've been obedient to what He showed you what you were to do. And there's something different about going in and saying, "Dad, I did what I was supposed to. Hey, I just want you to know, it's all done. I went ahead and did it. It worked just like you said it would." Different than, "Son, get in here. I told you," and head goes down, lip goes out, quiver starts, fake tears run, you know the whole business. Not sorry, just sorry they got caught. Wait a minute. How about prayer time? How about time with God? And Christ is giving us a great example. What He's doing is He's doing it out of obedience. He's doing it out of obedience. Look what He said in verse number 4. In verse 4 He said, "Thou gavest me." In verse 4 He said, "I have glorified thee." Look at verse 6. "I have manifest thy name." Look at verse 8. "I have given unto them." You notice what He's doing? He's saying, "I did it. I did it. I did it. I did it. You gave it. I did it. You gave it. I did it. You gave it. I did it." That's faithfulness. Amen. It's when you get along with God, God reveals who He is. God reveals what He wants done, and He has the power to do it. God reveals His plan, and then you simply get the opportunity and privilege to go represent Him publicly or to someone else. And then when you do it, you come back to Him and you say, "Faithful." That should be your prayer time. He's given us a great example of being faithful in His prayer time. He has what? He's been obedient. He's been thankful. It's been because of relationship. Look what else I want you to notice. You remember why did Jesus came? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Do you know the Bible said that Jesus came and He said, "I come to fulfill the will of my Father." And the will of His Father was what? "For God so loved the world." Do you ever notice something about John 17? Look, if you would, in John 17, verse 5. "And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which Thou hast with I had with Thee before the..." Verse 8, 6, "I have manifest Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world." Verse 9, "I pray for them, I pray not for the world." Verse 11, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world." Verse number 12, "While I was with them in the world." Verse 13, "And now I come to Thee, and these things I speak in the..." Verse 14, "I have given them Thy word in the world hath hated them because they are not of the, even as I am not of the. 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the. 16, they are not of the, even as I am not of the. 18. Where in the world did he get that from? Got it from spending time with the Father. He said, glorify me like I used to be. And before he came, what was on God's mind? The world. And God the Father had on his mind the world. And so what did Jesus Christ come? To be obedient to his Father in reaching the world. Can I ask you a question? Do you want to know if you're faithful? Are you about your Father's business? Your Father was about reaching the world. If we're not reaching the world, we're not about the Father's business. We're going to have a hard time coming to the Lord in prayer and showing Him that we've been faithful. Oh, we all hear when we get to heaven, we want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful. Well, let's determine. God's side of prayer is revealing what God wanted. Our side of prayer is revealing what we want. Got a question? Take your prayer life and dissect it and find out how much of it is revealing in your life your faithfulness. How much of it's revealing your obedience? How much of it's revealing your thankfulness? How much of it's revealing your personal relationship with Him? How much of it's revealing His heart? Christ was revealing His Father's heart while He was praying. Be careful, because many times our prayer time is nothing more than our want list. It's nothing more than what we want God to do for us. When Christ's prayer time, giving us an example, was simply what God wanted, and He was just being obedient to the person of God, to the power of God, and the plan of God. So are you living tonight in accordance to the Word of God? Are you living tonight in accordance with the person of God? Are you living tonight in accordance to the purpose of God? Let's examine our prayer time. We sing the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. But I wonder if Jesus might say to us, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Because their prayer time was revealing their condition. When he said that to Peter, it wasn't a compliment. Let's pray. My Father in heaven, I love you tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for who you are. Lord, I need help from the Father in my fears. I need help. I need Son to abide in you to produce fruit. Holy Spirit of God, I need a right relationship with you to produce the faith. And then, Lord, I want to be found faithful. My faithfulness is identified in my prayer life. And so, Lord, am I faithful? Have I done your purpose? Have I submitted to your plan? Have I submitted to who you are? Have I submitted to your power? Have I been obedient? Do I have the proper relationship to cry out Father, God, I pray you'd help us. We're all in need. We're made but flesh, and you knew that. So you gave us your word, you gave us example, you gave us a book, you gave us a church, you gave us pastors, you gave us teachers. Lord, I pray that you'd help each of us to become what you want us to become. And we'll only do that if we'll follow you. Yet, Lord, you did say, as Paul said, be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So, Lord, this pastor, as he follows you, may this church follow him as he follows you. For, Lord, it's your church. It's your plan. It's your purpose. And I pray you'd help us to be submissive to whatever you choose you want from us. Help us to live our lives in accordance to your word, in accordance to your person, in accordance to your purpose.